We are on. I'm going to leave a few on the table here so it makes any impact. We are on Daf Samech Gimel and Beis. Now, this happens to be the most complicated table in all of the Masechta, but it's really not a complicated case. It just looks much more frightening than it is.
Okay, but this is the case. We start from here. There were Chaya, five women: Chaya, Sora, Rivka, Bilha, and Zilpah. Okay, and they all gave birth to one child, who we know it is. Each one gave birth to Reuven, the other to Shimon, the other to Levi, the other to Yehuda, and the other to Yisachar. But then they're all five of them, I guess, were in a cave together and gave birth simultaneously, and they had five kids, and we don't know which is which, whose child that second child is, which is either Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, or Asher, right? So each one of them had one definite son and one suffix son, and the suffix was one which is a suffix among all five of the women. Is that clear? Okay. So now, Chamesh Nashim Shnitzarvav Lado Seim, five women whose kids got mixed up. Higdilu Atalroivis, so these five mixed up kids grew up, Vinosu Nashim, and they somehow managed to get married nonetheless. Umesu, and then they all died. Okay? So this is the case, I guarantee this case has never happened in the course of Jewish history, ever. But, they all died, right? Arba Choltim L'achas, all four are cholates. Four of the brothers are cholates, four of the girls, right? And the fifth one marries the girl, right? So example here, Reuven does chalitza on Leah, Rachel, Chana, and Dina, and marries Tamar, who's the fifth one. Shimon does chalitza on Leah, Rachel, Chana, and Tamar, and marries the fifth one, Dina, and so on and so forth. Each one does chalitza on four and marries the fifth, round robin style. Okay, because mimanafshach, either the one he there's a 20% chance that the one he marries actually that he one is actually yavama, and if it's not as yavama, so it's one of the other brothers yavama upon which chalitza is performed. So vis-a-vis him, she's of course a regular not related woman, and there is allowed to be married to, right? So huvishla so. Arba cholzim la'achas ve'echom yabim. Hu v'shlosh and he and the other three cholzim la'achas. They do chalitza on the other one ve'echom yabim. One of them is yabim, and so on and so forth. Nimtza arba chalitzas v'yimul ko'achas v'achas. So each one of the girls and each one of the boys does four chalitzas and one yibum. Okay, so a very exciting case. B'chol asa atamar. Why does he have to do chalitza on the other girls if he does yibum on one of those girls? Because they're not related brothers, right? They're not sisters, right? Okay, not sisters, and they're not married brothers. Okay, so every single atomar ain chalitza, chalitza is no chalitza after chalitza.
Which is really your question, or is asking. There's no chalitza of chalitza. How come they all do chalitza? One chalitza should be enough, right?
So you're saying one is not enough, right? So it's more kambivade, kambisofi. When is one chalitza enough? When you are definitely, when one is definitely a brother, right? But here they're not, none of them is definitely a brother. We don't know which is the brother who's supposed to do chalitza. It could be any one of the five. So that's why you have to have five chalitzas, right? One would not suffice, right? Because similarly, everywhere atamar you say b'chol makom it should be she'omrim lo, not she'ein omar. It should be omrim lo. Everywhere we tell a guy yabeim that he can do yibum, ein omer lo chalotz. We don't say you have to do chalitza. If you do yibum, what kind of chalitza is there necessary? The yibum takes care of everything. V'chol demarachin here you say yes to yibum and four chalitzas. So it's more again the same thing, kam bevare, kam besafi. Whereas definite family relationships, then you do yibum and you don't have to do chalitza. But here the whole relationship, all the relationships are up in the air, so you have to do both yibum and chalitza.
Okay? That was a simple case. Next case. Ha'isha shnisar vlad bevlad kalosa. You have Sarah, right? Sarah had a child. Sarah had one definite child, two definite children, Yaakov and Yitzchak, right? One of her definite children, Yaakov, married Rachel. That's Sarah's daughter-in-law, right? Now, Rachel had a definite child, right? And again, Sarah and Rachel were in the hospital at the same time, and their children got mixed up. The next one of their children, right? So we have one kid, Nachshon or Chetzron, two kids, Nachshon or Chetzron, and we don't know if Nachshon or Chetzron is Sarah, the mother's son, or Rachel, the daughter-in-law's son, right? So they could either be Sarah's child or Sarah's grandchild, okay? So in that case, Higdilu atar roivus v'nosu nashim. So Nachshon and Chetzron grow up and they marry women. V'mesu. And Nachshon and Chetzron then die. So B'nei Akala, and Rachel's other son, Reuven, he's got to do chalitza on both the women, on both Nachshon and Chetzron's wives who are here called Dina and Tamar. Because it's true that it might be his brother's wife. Because he doesn't know, but it might be his uncle's wife. And if it's his uncle's wife is an arayas to him. So therefore he can't do Yibum. He's got to do chalitza. He's got to do two chalitzas because he doesn't know which one is really the right one. But he's got to do two chalitzas misafik, right? It's kwafik if it's his brother's wife, which would be okay. But if it's his uncle's wife, then that's bad. However, Yitzchak, who's another son of Sarah, right? So he can do either chalitza or yibum, because either it's his sister-in-law, in which case yibum is the proper thing, or it's his niece, actually his nephew's wife, and you can marry your nephew's wife, right? It's either the girl's either his sister-in-law or his nephew's wife. So if it's either one, it's permitted to him, either because of yibum or because it's a regular marriage. So he can do yibum or chalitza. Does yibum on one or chalitza on the other? Okay. So his sister-in-law, his brother's wife, which is a yibum relationship, or Eshes ben Achiv, or his nephew's wife, which is okay even as a marriage relationship. Meisu Aksherim. Now what Abraham is like, another problem is like this. Let's say the definite brothers died. Yitzchak died, right? It was the definite brother on the first generation level. And Reuven died, who's the definite brother on the second generation level. But Nachshon and Chetzron, the Sveikas, they're still alive. Okay? So this is the opposite case. In this case, the guys who are Suffolk died, and that's the ratio, and the Sefa, the guys who are the definite ones died, and were left with the Sveikas. So in this case, one of the brothers has to chalitz on both for sure, right? Because it's either his, as far as, well, let's see, the mission will say. Mesuk Shem, Hatarovis Libneas Kena. So he says, in this case, the Tarovis, vis-a-vis Rivka, they both have to do chalitza, because potentially Rivka is their aunt, their uncle's wife. So neither of them can take Rivka misafek, because they don't know if they are Yitzchak, the dead brother's brother, which would make it okay, or they're Reuven, the dead son's, or the dead grandsons, I should say, brother, in which case they can't do yibum on their aunt. Are you following? It's a complicated case. What? Okay, that in this case, we know which the people who died, we know which generation they're affiliated with, right? We know that Yitzchak, who's Sarah's first generation son, died, and we know that Reuven, also, who saw as second generation, her grandson died, right? So however, we don't know among Nachshon and Chetzron are brothers to Yitzchak, who's the son, or brothers to Reuven, who's the grandson, right? So they definitely can't do Yibum on Rivka. Right? Rivka's out of the question, because neither of them know if they are from the first generation of Sarah's progeny and the second generation of Sarah's progeny. If they're from the second generation of Sarah's progeny, so Rivka's also them because of Arias, because it's their aunt. So they can't marry their aunt, aunt by marriage, but that's aunt. So therefore, they both have to do chalitza to Rivka, because neither of them knows that they would be permissible in Rivka. However, one of them can do this would be Chana. So on that, they're safe no matter what, right? Because Chana is that either their sister-in-law, which is Shaykh to Yibum, or their nephews, their deceased nephew's wife, which is also permitted to them. So the one of them has to chalitza on Chana, the other one can go ahead and do Yibum on Chana. Okay? So that's what it's talking about here. So Umnei Akala Echad Choletz V'Echad Miyabim. So the wife of the Kala, the wife of Reuven, so they can they one can do Yibum, one can do chalitza on her. Om Rabbi Yochanan said, Kini Mas Nisa. This is the way to read the end of the Mishnah. It's not accurate the way the end of the Mishnah say Linashay B'nei Akala to the wife of the son of the Kala, meaning the wife of the deceased Reuven. To her, one of them can marry, and one of them has to chalitza. Linashay B'nei Askena to the wife of Yitzchak, the son of the old lady. Well, they both have to chalitza. Anyway, Amrei B'Chagai, Chagai says, what does this case tell us? So it's Mesh Muto Adam Lisa's Eishes Ben Achim. It's telling us that a person is allowed to marry his nephew's wife. Now, why should he not be allowed to marry his nephew's wife? What does the Mishnah have to tell us? So Kormen gives two possible reasons. That one reason, actually, which I like better, but the Kormen doesn't like better, is that the reason why I might not let you marry your nephew's wife is because, let's say, then you die. So who's the Yava? If you marry your nephew's wife, who might potentially be the Yava? If you marry your nephew's wife, then you're the Yava might be
the father-in-law,
right? This woman's father-in-law might eventually be the Yava, right? If you marry your nephew's wife, that means it's your brother's son's wife. And so if you marry her and because her husband died childless and then you died childless, so the Yavam will be her own father-in-law, which is Aser. So I might say, don't let somebody marry their nephew's wife lest there be a Yibum situation where you won't be able to do Yibum. That's one reason the coordinator possibly gives. The other reason he gives is much more simple and straightforward. He says that Chazal should have asked this because of Sheni La Rais, because it looks awesome, right? So therefore, our Mishnah is telling us a Chiddush that they didn't ask her just because it looks awesome. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. By the way, in case you're wondering, the reason why I'm so awake tonight is because I went to Starbucks and got a Venti Americano. This probably has enough caffeine to keep an army awake for a week. Okay. Says the Mishnah further. Kohenish and his Are Vlada Bivlachiv Chosa. That was a plug for Starbucks. I don't stock in Starbucks, so I have to plug it. Kohenish and his Are Vlada Bivlachiv Chosa. Hey, Kohenish. Now, the case, this is a much easier case. And the case of actually the rest of the night is quite easy. We can do it in like 5 minutes. Kohen and Shisar, I'm exaggerating, but quickly. Kohen and Shisar, Vladimir Vladchik. I didn't mean to allow you to ask more questions.
No, it's not a question.
Yeah,
it's
go
a
on. Yes.
There is a theory in cultural anthropology related to when societies impose, like the Isser Erva, okay? And it's propounded by a guy named Levi Strauss, that's his last name. And his theory is...
I remember this from high school sociology, vaguely.
When there's a the man's supposed to dominate over the woman, and the older generation is supposed to dominate over the younger generation.
Yeah.
Whenever you have a clash in those two ideas, such as an ant...
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the man's supposed to dominate over the woman, yet the older generation is supposed to dominate over the younger generation.
They made an Arias.
That's an Arias. and it fits in with nephew, it fits in with aunt, and all these different things. So you, to me, like, I see this as like it's unbelievable.
That's an interesting theory. Okay. Kohenish is higher blood of a vajim chosa.
Despite the apikorsa sound.
Stop
that. Kohenish
is higher blood of a vajim chosa. A Kohenis. Now, you have two women, one of them, which is the mistress, who's a Kohenis, the wife of a Kohen, and you have then the Shifcha, right? So, a Shifcha is allowed to eat Truma. The Shifcha of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, right? But of course, the kid is also Lava Bekohol, right? The kid of a Shifcha, right? So now the two kids get mixed up. The Ben HaShifcha, who's an Evet, and the Ben of the Kohenis, who's obviously of priestly caste, right? So they got mixed up. They can eat truma, because no matter what, they can eat truma. But when they go to collect truma in the barnyard, not in the barn, in the farmhouse, so they can only get one portion between the two of them, right? Because only one of them is the real Kohen, right? They can't be Matamil Mesim, even though one of them can, but we don't know which one. They can't get married, because one of them is an Evan and can't get married, right? Says Truma. Why can they eat Truma? She can't have the Kwanim Ochim Truma. Because the slaves of Kwanim can eat Truma. The Chalki Chalakal Bakaran Al Garn, they only get one portion in the barn. Hadoi, the Tani Rabbi Chia, because this teacher of the Rabbi Chia taught us that Noshim Avarim, even though women and slaves have the right to eat Truma, and a Chokin Al Garn. In other words, the wife of a Kohen can eat Truma, right? And the Evan of a Kohen can eat Truma. But they can't go to a barn and say, I'm the slave of a Kohen, or I'm the wife of a Kohen, I want Truma. Only the Kohen, him or herself, can go. So therefore, they only get one portion between the two of them, right? So they can't go and ask, they can't go to the barn, and the reason is because we're afraid that of Yichus. People are going to think they're actually the bona fide Kohanim. So you can't actually give them a Truma, or they can't demand Truma. What you can do is in the house, you know, informally, you can give them truma, but not at the formal distribution. They can't marry. Lok sheiros v'lo psulos, not kosher, not apostle women. Lok sheiros, not kosher, mipnei apostle, because one of them is in heaven. V'lo psulos. Yeah, may have one because of kosher, because one is the kosher. Ma'usha via mincha achas. Can they bring between the two of them one mincha? Will take reva b'kolil, which will be sacrificed kolil. Meaning that nobody will eat from the mincha. As you recall, I'm sure, when a Kohen brings a mincha, nobody eats from it. Unlike when a Yisrael brings a mincha. When Yisrael brings a mincha, the Kohen eats from it, right? When a Kohen brings a mincha, nobody eats from the mincha, right? So then what about when the two of them bring a mincha? Can they come together and say, well, between the two of us are bringing a mincha, so it should count as the Kohen's mincha. And nobody should be allowed to eat from it, right? So this is what, yes, they can do. They bring one mincha and they say, if I'm the coin, it's mine. If you're the coin, it's yours. We take crave a coin, it's brought, and it's completely consumed on the mzech. What about the other way, though? Maushe of Yishtei Menachos, can they bring two menachos? Achas keva b'kolil, one which will be totally sacrificed. V'achas dikmetzes menachos, and one will be brought, will have a koimetz taken to put on his back and will be eaten. Why? Because an Eved can bring a mincha, and his mincha is like a regular Yisrael's mincha. So can they do that in partnership, bring two menachos, one of which will be like a mincha of a Kohen and be kolil, be completely consumed by the fire, and the other which will be a mincha of a commoner and be have a klimat so the mizrach beaten. So that's why, yeah, they could do that too. Tani mevin shtei menachos, they can bring two menachos. Achas keva be called here. What is completely sacrificed? Vachas nikmetzes menachos. And when you take off a komet, then it's consumed. Maushido edus achas. Can they come to court and testify? That's a cool question. I don't remember this from the Bavli anywhere, but who knows? Maybe when we learn Bavli, you've almost will come across it. Can they come to court and testify? Now, one of them is posel edus. So can they come to court though, like, you know, like 1-8, like 1-8, because together, right, together with the kosher, one of them is kosher, one of them is no good. Can they come to a basin as 1-8, you know, like when you put the Gemara's famous case of where you have a lame man who's sighted riding atop of a blind man who can walk. So can you do the same thing here with these two people, right? It's a cute question. So Maushe Eidu Eidu Sachas, tell them Eidu Sachas. Can they testify together? Or yeba? Do we say concerning this? Do we say about this? Yeheba? Should we say about this? Kahid Amar Rabbi Zira, like Rabbi Zira said, Rabbi Yitzchak said, B'shem Rav Asi. The word achas here is superfluous. Me'achas shi'limotzo edim zoymimim ein ne'erogin. No, the catch is, it's not Eidusha Teyochel Azima. You can't be mazing them, right? Because if you come to them and say, hey, you're the one who testified falsely against this guy and almost had him put to death, they'll say, I didn't testify falsely. I'm Apostle Eidus. It was my friend who testified. And the other one will say the same thing. So therefore, on a technicality, they can't testify because you can never be mazing them. And any Eidus Teyochel Azima, you can't be mazing the witnesses, is not Eidus, right? So Eidus Teyochel Azima, Eidus Teyochel Azima, and therefore, wherever Eidus Teyochel Azima, the murderer can't be killed. Afalka Kena, here too, of course, the same thing applies as well. Okay? So therefore, you can't accept their testimony. So the Amud Yerushalayim is a whole discussion here. It says, he brings down a question from the Karban Edom, and Shura Karban, he asks, hey, anyway, there should be apostle, because it's like Nimtza Echel Karav apostle. Right? Because it's the way of...
That's only if you have a cot. This is not a cot.
So he says... He doesn't say it's only if you have a cot, although you might be able to answer it's only in a group, right? And we're talking about their solidarities. But Amud Yerushalayim says that Nim Tzayach Kar of Apostle is only where we know who the Apostle aid is. But here, which is strange, Svara, but he brings down from a Tesis. But we don't know where the Apostle aid is, we don't say Nim Tzayach Kar of Apostle. But the Gilin Ephraim says a much more nice Lom de Shekwell answer. He says that the answer is that an Eved is not Nim Tzayach Kar of Apostle. It's just like if you have two witnesses who come to court with a woman, who's the third witness. Do we say that, well, a woman is apostle and so too the two aid him are apostle? No, because she's not, can't be an aid. So she's not called apostle. Apostle somebody is shaykh to be an aid, but right now he's apostle because he's a gambler or he's a thief or he's a relative of the person in question, right? But he a woman, person, somebody who's never possible to be an aid, so then we don't say about such a person, Nim Tzayachal Kar of Apostle, it cancels the entire group. So to an Eved is not possible to be an aid. He's not an aid apostle. He's not an aid. So therefore, the Eved one is just disqualified from Eidus, and he wouldn't say Nim Tzayachal Kar of Apostle. All right. So continuing on with this case, Higdil. The kids grow up. The son of the Shifcha and the son of the Kohenis. The Shikru says that, so they release each other. Very nice, right? So they released each other. Nelsim Nashim, they marry women Ru'uim Lakuna, who were suitable to marry Kohen, because one of them is a Kohen. Ve'en Vatala Mason, neither of them can go to Leviah, because one of them is a Kohen. Ve'enitmu, if however they went to Leviah, yeah, they became rabbis in traditional synagogues and went to Leviah's, right? Ain't something as our boy, maybe that's his hat, then. Maybe he got mixed up somewhere. Anyway, ain't something as our boy. Really not nice. All right, Eitzah, I apologize. Eitzah is going, they don't get flogged, okay? Why don't they get flogged? Because we don't know if actually who's the one to flog, right? They know Echlim Truma, they can't eat Truma, because one of them is no longer, one of them is a coin, but the other one who was once an Eved of a coin no longer is, and therefore he can't eat Truma, right? Yimlach, however, if they ate, Amisham and Karen Chomash, you don't have to pay the additional penalty, which is paid by Ezore Truma, because Amotzim Chaver Love Araya. We have to prove which one is not the Kohen, right? Uveinu Chokim Goren, they can't get a portion in the barnyard, because one of them is not a Kohen. Umochin so therefore the owner of barnyard says to each one, prove they are a Kohen, I'll give it to you. You can't. Umochin Esa Truma, they can sell Truma Adam Yishalem and keep the money, because they can say, prove to us which one of us is not the Kohen, that we shouldn't be allowed to keep the money. Ve'enu chokim kachim mikdash, they do not get kachim in the base of mikdash, because they're not definitely kohanim. Ve'enu yitzlem kodashim, they can't give them the kachim, because what business they have having kachim, they can't eat it. Ve'enu motzim yishalem yodem, however, we cannot take kachim away from them, because in order to take kachim away from them, we have to prove that they're not kohanim, and that we can't prove either. They're exempt from giving the gifts given to a kohen from a slaughtered animal, because let's prove they're not kohanim. And we cannot take away a bechor from them to give the kohen, because let's prove they're not kohanim. Rather, their bechor, roach, he still have to graze until it gets a moon, and then they can eat it and say, well, we own it.
You can't say much about the right. They should prove that they are kohanim.
No, because they own the animal.
Yeah,
the animals in their possession. We want to take it away from them. But notice that Chumei Sof and Chumei Kohanim. In general, we give them the Chumras of both Yisrael and Kohanim.
Now, how could a Sofek Eved free another person?
What do you mean? They couldn't free a third part. No, they couldn't free it. Because now they're free no matter what. Until they did that, none of them could free a third part person.
No, I understand. No, the first line in the Mishnah.
Yeah.
How could they free each other? One person.
What? One of them is definitely
a
Kohen.
Yeah, real Kohen can free the
other gesture is meaningless. But we don't know which is the meaningless gesture, so we have to do both. So that's why. But the Gemara says, it sounds like only Shichru Zed Zed B'Diavid. If they're Meshachrer, if they're released, then this is Halacha. But it sounds like Chatchil, they're not allowed to release each other. Right? Which, of course, could be understood because we have a prohibition to release Avadim unless there's mitigating circumstances. But is that the case here? So, this is a way to read the Mishnah. Mutzah l'shachar b'tchila, you're allowed even l'chatchila, with this is considered to be extenuating enough circumstance that you're allowed to release them. And after Rabbi Yosef Gli, Omar also l'shachar, even Rabbi Yosef Gli says normally not allowed to release a slave. Modu l'achar sheyem mutzah, here he says it's permissible neitikon havlad in order to be able to have, to be rectified the kid, meaning that they should be allowed to get married. When it says they're only allowed to marry ruios, mal ruios, lo psulos, they can only marry women who are kosher lakuna, not women who are apostle kuna. So the killing of Ephraim has, isn't that obvious? What's the Gemara telling us? Of course that's what ksheros means, lo psulos. Isn't that what it means? Ksheros lakuna, they're not apostle. So he says a very interesting thing. He says we had back in one of the previous brachim, I forget which one, we had a shita, which we don't paskin like, that kohanos who are ksheros, Kohanos are not allowed to marry chalolim. Remember, we had such a shita. We hold a chol can marry a kohenes, and a kohenes can marry a chol. But we had a shita back then that the kohenes cannot marry a chol, because they had a shita that haksheros, who's a rule of psulim, that even women, just like a kohen can't marry a chalola, a kohenes can't marry a chol. Okay, we had such a shita. So that's what's coming to, I don't know, is the end of the ninth parak maybe? Anyway, we had it somewhere back then. I don't want to, I think it's the end of the ninth parak. It's around Daf Nun Aleph. So in any event, so be that as it may, so here what it's saying is, since one of them is an Eved Meshuchar, just like a Kohen can't marry a Shivcha Shinishtachara, so to according to the Shita that Kohanos can't marry Psulim, so to a Kohenes can't marry either one of them, because one of them is a Eved Shinishtachara. So when it says ksheros, maurios, lo psulos, it means the women are not posel lakuna, but not kohanos themselves. Kohanos themselves will not be allowed to marry these two men, because one of them is an Eved Meshuchar, and according to Shita, that ksheros can't marry psulim, so that would be no good. Okay. That's a kind of a digression, but it's going to come back into our topic. How we know the Kohen wants to come up and sacrifice his own korbanos no matter what Mishmar is serving the Beit HaMikdash that week. It doesn't matter. Shetam Malonka says, he can come according to whatever he desires and serve. Now, if the Kohen was an old man or sick, which means, says the Sayyidina, he could serve, but it's hard for him. He's old and he's sick, but he could. So he is not going to call it nosucho mishmer shiritza, so he has the right to give his own korban to any mishmer he wants, varenu b'sarin shalom, and he gets the flesh and the hides. Because since he could have done it himself, even though it's hard for him, so therefore he can exercise discretion about who sacrifices it, and he gets the flesh and the hide. But what if he has no migo? He couldn't serve even if he wanted to because he's tame, or because he has a blemish. Then tough on him. No solanche mishmar has to give his korbanos to the people of the mishmar which are serving right now. Varan ubsaran alehen, and they get to keep the flesh and the hide because he has no migo. He couldn't have done it himself, right? Now, coming back to our Mishnah. Eliminate Tachlevis. These two guys, right? So one of them is a coin, but one of them is not, right? Mat Avilhon, how do you regard them? You regard them Kizokin v'Kechoyle, like a Zokin and a Choyle, and therefore they get to keep the hides and the meat. Or Ketali Bamu, you regard them like a Tomei Bamum, and therefore they don't get to keep the hides and the meat, nor give it to any coin they want. Mistabra Mi'abdelon, so it makes sense to say, we make them Ketomei Bamum. Why? Because they can't really sacrifice. Even though it's only a suffix, Blamaisa, they can't sacrifice because we don't know who they are. And therefore, they come in Bamum, and they have no right to come and exercise discretion about who should sacrifice their kabanas, nor do they get the hides and the meats. However, that makes sense, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, it seems to say that we make them like Gazok and Echola. The Tanian says, we cannot take away that which they have, which means it sounds like they can actually exercise their own discretion about where to give it. Okay? So that sounds like we make them like Gazok and Echola, not like a Baal Mum or a Tommy. Okay, new case. Mishaloshas Achar Baal Shloshu Chodashim. I actually was going to look, and I forgot to look at their Nachos fees on this. There it is. So, okay. 1 second. Okay, Mishloshas Achar Bala Shosh Chodashim. Her husband died, and she didn't wait 3 months. Well, actually, or she got divorced. We don't know. Or the more is even going to say, the first guy did it was never married to her. He raped her. Okay? That's how she was going to come out of the conclusion. So she didn't wait. Shlosh chodashim, and he says, since she got married to somebody else, the old then she gave birth, but any of them been tisha l'rishon or ben shiva l'achron. We don't know whose kid is the first kid's after 9 months, or the second, first husband's after 9 months, or the second husband's after 7 months. Hayla banimina rishon or banimina sheni. So if there were kids from the first guy and kids from the second guy, chotim lo miyamid, those who do chalitza are not yibum, right? Because they don't know if it's their brother or not their brother, right? So therefore they both do chalitza and not yibum, right? Now the reason why both they have to do chalitza and not yibum, they can't marry her, is because they all share a common mother. So if they share a common father, so then there's a mitzvah yibum. But if they don't share a common father and they do share a common mother, then it's kares, right? So they can't actually do yibum. Like we said before, do yibum misafik. If it's your brother, fine. If it's not your brother, so she's a zara. It's not true, because here they all share the same mother. They just don't share the same. The question whether they share the same father or not, right?
It's a case of three brothers.
Right, three brothers. And two of them are full brothers, and the other two are half brothers. They don't know which is which, and that's what these pictures are, diagram. But I don't think it's necessary. Just all the arrows are confusing. If you really want to go through the pictures, we can do it. Okay. So there are a lot of pictures. For some reason, Baruch Hashem, I didn't notice all the pictures with all the arrows. Yeah. All right. So I'll just write down for posterity. Okay, so in any event, he also does chalitza to them and does not miyabim them, vice versa, right? If they're the ones who die. You see, just from the pictures here, in this case, he died, the Suffolk guy, right? In this case, the two other guys died, and here they do chalitza, each of them does chalitza on his wife, where Reuven is the one who survives, and they died, so he does chalitza on both wives again, because if he can't do yibum, so he's lost them because they share a common mother, right? What if he had brothers, however, not from the same mother? Then we're okay, right? Because if they're not from the same mother, so then either he's miyabim, or if he's not miyabim, he can marry outright, right? Because there's no prohibition. The prohibition is only one half. You get the picture, right? So we don't know which are truly his brothers. So if it's a, if he can do chalitza and yibum, right? So you can do chalitza one and yibum on the other, because it's ma'afshach. If the chalitza is right, then the other woman is not at all related to him. He can be, he can marry her. If the yibum is right, right? Because that's taki his sister-in-law. So the chalitza on the other one, in fact, is meaningless. It was just a pro forma, right? And vice versa. If he's the one who dies, and he leaves the wife, so one of them does chalitza, and the other one does yibum. And if the chalitza was valid, so then she goes out lushuk, and therefore the other guy, who's not really related to her, can be miyabimer. And if the yibum is valid, so the chalitza, of course, is unnecessary. Right? Hoya echa Yisrael v'echa kohen. What if one was Yisrael, in other words, one of the, going back to the father, right? He has two fathers, right? We don't know which is his father, right? So one was Yisrael, one was a Kohen. Number one was a father Yisrael, the number two was a Kohen, or vice versa, right? So Echa Yisrael v'echa kohen, nosi Yisrael v'kohen, misafik, he might be a Kohen, he's got to marry a woman suitable to Kohen. Any time he's but misafik, he can't go to Levi's. If he needs love, if he comes to me, misafik, and the service abroad, we can't flog it. He doesn't have to pay misafik. Say this last mishnah. He can't get a portion because he's a safek. But he can sell truma. About them, he should keep the money because he's a safek. And if we want to take away from him, we have to prove he's not a kohen. You can't get kosher based mikdash. It's only a safek. We don't give kosher because it's only a safek. We can't take away his because we would have to prove he's not a kohen miyado, and we can't prove it. He doesn't have to give the gifts to the Kohen Zeruch Chaim Akeva, because you know he commits a chavel over it, but he has to prove he's not a Kohen. Ubuchori Yerod, she's striving to keep his Bukhori till get some moom. And that's the Chumay Sol, Chumay Chaim, generally give him the Chumas of both Yisrael and a Kohen. Hoyush name Kohanim. What if they were both Kohanim? Now, this is really cool. Both the first guy and the second guy was a Kohen. Both of them, right? So he's definitely a Kohen. Right, so Yishnam Kohanim, who own in Aleim. What if they both, when they die, so we have the status of Onei on both them, and an Onei is not allowed to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Right, only a Kohen Gadol is an Onei is allowed to serve, but not a Kohen Hedil who's an Onei. So therefore, when both of them die, he has to stop doing that avoda for the period of Aninus. Right, Tein Onei Malav, and vice versa, they're Onei on him, and when he dies, they would have to stop their avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Who ain't a matamin lehem? However, he can't go to their levayas. They ain't a matamin lo, and they can't go to his levayas because they don't know which one is actually he's a relative of. Who lo yoreisho son? Now, this type of in general, he can't inherit them, right? Because each one, the other brother, the other heirs say, "Amotzim chavel levarai." You prove that you're an heir. But the two of them, if he dies, they divvy up his spoils, right? Because who else is going to inherit him, right? So therefore, the two fathers would divide up whatever this suffix son leaves over, right? Upata makosva kloser shozevelze. Let's say he beats his father, or curses his father. But you know which is his father. So therefore he's exempt, right? He's got to go up in the mishmar of each one of his fathers if they're both Kohanim, but in a chol he doesn't have any rights in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is of course going to ask, so why is he bothering going up to Yerushalayim, right?
Well, he couldn't have gotten killed for hitting his father there because there was a woman has frost topic anyway.
Gemara is going to discuss that. He doesn't get a portion of Yush name and Mishmar Echad. If however they're both on the same Mishmar, he gets one portion. Says Mark, wait a minute. So what's going on here? You said both fathers are Kohanim, right? But you said both fathers are still alive, because you said both fathers are Onin on him, right? That means both fathers are still alive. How do you have a case where the both fathers could still be alive and he could possibly be a Kohen? You see the problem?
Yeah, because it was
divorce. Either divorce, or the first father died. In which case, you can have a case where both fathers are still alive,
right,
and he can be a Kohen, they're both Kohanim. Makam, ilachar misa, if the first Kohen died, right, the first potential father, lace you all continue, can't fully sustain that which it says, who own in Aleim, he's owning them, vehein, and both of them own him a love, because we've got to be dead. Now here, put in the words Ela b'shigiresh, which are two lines hence. They're supposed to be up here. Ellen Shagir, so maybe say a divorce. So Nichol is Shani and Matame. So in that case, I would say he's not Matame to the first one, right? And second one, Shani Omer Beno Sharishino, because he would be the son of the first one. But Larishon Lemayin Matame. But why? Right? And if it's not the first one's son, right? Because he's the second one's son, right? So that means he's a Cholo, right? Because his first father divorced his wife. So then, of course, he can go to Levi anyway, right? Either he's the son of the first guy or he's a Cholo. So no matter what, he can go to Levi, the first guy, regardless, right?
He's allowed to divorce his wife. He just can't marry Grusha when he could
Right, she got married to another guy, right? So, we're talking about where the first guy wasn't a husband, he was a rapist. Okay, so she was raped by a Kohen, and then within 3 months she went and married a Kohen, but not the same Kohen, right? So that's why we have a question. Says the Gemara, Lo chen amar Rabbi Bob Shem Rabbi Abirinia. So it says, but it sounds like our mission is condemning her for getting married within 3 months. But we know that you're allowed to get married within 3 months of being raped. So why is our mission condemning her for doing so? It says, Mishalo Shas! Somebody didn't wait! She doesn't have to wait. Says the Gemara, Sabina Mema, they want to say, Krabbana. We pass in Taka, she doesn't have to wait. But here, our Mishnah, which condemns her for having gotten married in 3 months, that's like Rabbi Yossi holds you're supposed to. Tanya, Rabbi Chiya said, only in Matamin al Asafik. Rabbi Chiya said, a Kohen is comes in Onen and is Matame on Asafik. Now, this is talking about here, not our case, but a parallel case. If a Kohen has a son, who we don't know if it was a full-term baby or an eighth-month baby, right? Eight-month baby, we know it's not considered viable. Full-term is 9 months, right? So it's a suffix. So, misafik, he becomes an one on the kid. I'm not sure what metamin actually is. How come he could be called tame on him? I'm pretty sure metamin is lav dafka now that I look at it. Because how can you go be Matami for the kid if the kid was not viable? It's just a nepho. You can't go be Matami for the kid. So I'm not sure if Matami is Dafka, but Onim is Dafka, right? Become Onim. So Rabbi Yossi must need some Rakan. Our mission says it, right? Who Onim Alein Veinonim Alav? Our mission is the case of Sofek, and it says they have a status of Onim, L'chumra. So too on a kid, who we don't know if it's a miscarriage or not, you have to be Onim, L'chumra. Rabbi Ashmar Yochum Sahavali Uvda. He had such a case come in front of him, a Shiloh of this sort. So Rabbi Yossi asked Rabbi Yossi, now Omar Lay, so he said, Lo Tzarech, of course it was after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so there's no question about Voida. But the Shiloh's Lamaisa, was he an Onen on a kid which was only 8 months old when it was 8 month term? Well, Safik was 8 month or 9 month term. So I'm going to lay a late story. So you don't have to be noy gabelos on him. I'm late, so he said, what do you do with our Mishnah? But in Amar Bechia, Onei Matame al Asafik, it says even Asafik are an Onei and Bistam Avelos as well. It says, Mar Simoni Mahayu Nikorin. Now, according to Amudi Yushalayim at the bottom, it means that they could tell that it was clearly a Ben Ches. When it's a Safik Ben Ches Ben Tes, then your Onei Misafik. But it's definitely a ben ches. Where the simonim that's a ben ches, it's not full term. Then you're not oinim misafik. Now we bisman is a paskin. I believe that even if it's a 9 month kid, as long as it doesn't live 30 days, so we assume that it's a nephil. But then, according to this gemara, if it's a question if it's ben ches or ben tes, then you would be oinim misafik. But if there's simonim that's a ben ches, then you wouldn't be oinim misafik. Says Mar Lochena Min Chavai B'Shem Rabbi Yochan. Then Chavai Shem Rabbi Yochan. See money Ben Shmon. If there are indications that he's an 8 month baby, Eino Si Ma'isa. Then you do not make people sin in Avelus. Says Mar. So if that's the case, how come? The opposite. Sorry. Well, it's a question. Wait a minute. Lochena Min Chavai B'Shem Rabbi Yochan. See money Ben Shmon. Eino Si Ma'isa. Even there's Si money that was 8 days old. We do not say that he was only 8 months old. We do not say that you're exempt
from Aninus, right? So it says, Zumar Simon Hayelo Shabalo Pirish. Here it was evident to him that it when the kid was but I see it's not going to work out. At least not that I can figure out offhand. So let me go back on the line carbon Ada. Says, let's go back to the second to last line on 128. So says, that he was bent. The Gemara's question, let me go back 2 lines before that. Armalei Vatsinin or Amar Bichia Onim Vatamin al Safek. The Gemara's question is, why are you telling me you don't have to be Einin? It was a Suffolk, maybe it was a Suffolk. And it says to my wife, it's a Suffolk. Simonim hayu nikarim. That there were Simonim, that the kid was a full-term baby. So it says to my so what? Lochenim in Chavai B'Shem B'Yochan, Simonim ben Shmoyne, Ein Eno Samaisa. Even if there's a Simon that, the Simo Simon, that says that this Ben Shmona is really Ben Tisha, we don't do a Maisa, right? So we still don't make him sit Avelus, the exact opposite of what we said before. Says, well, no, he had a real Simon here. Simon Hayalo, he knew that the kid was a 9-month baby, Shabal Upirish, because he had not had relations with his wife for the last 9 months. So therefore, he knew for sure that it was a 9-month kid, and that's why that's where, in that case, we said, Rabbi Chia said, only with Tamil Sofik. In a case where there isn't a definite simon, even if it looks to you like it's a 9-month baby, then you don't have to join in matam. You're not joining in. Am I making myself clear? The case where he wasn't sure if his kid was 8 or 9 month term, right? And he said you don't have to sin avelus. So says Amara, wait a minute, didn't we learn that you are joining matam in sofik? Right? So says Amara, no, depends if there's simoni that it's ben ches. Says Amara, what do you mean even if there's simoni that it's ben ches? You still don't rely on that, and you are oinein misafek. Says Gemara, no, it's the opposite. Simonim ben ches, you don't. It's not choppy either way you learn it. I'm not sure exactly what the shock of Tari is, but let's try and to say, like, let me try one more time. He said, came and asked a question. And he was told, you don't have to be anointed. So then they asked, what do you mean? Don't we learn you are anointed misafek? So it says, Gemara, simonim ayu nikarim, meaning that there was simonim that it was a ben ches. Didn't we learn that simonim ben ches, you don't do a maisa? In other words, you still have to be an Orvel? That must be the Gemara's question, right? So it says, Gemara, simonim ayu shabol pirish. That's the only way you have a simon that it isn't the ben ches. Where's the simon? Where's the simon that's not a ben ches? Well, you haven't had relations in the last 9 months. So actually, now I think I got it. So when it says here, chevrai v'shem yochad simonim ben shmoni eno simaisa, that means that where the ben shmoni has simonim that he's not a ben shmoni, right? Then you do not allow the guy to get off the hook, and he has to do avelus. What's the simon by a ben shmoni that he's not a ben shmoni, where he has to do avelus? It's a case where you haven't had relations in the last 9 months. So then I say, mistam, it is a 9-month term baby, and you do have to sit avelus. I guess that's the way to read it. In any event, I see it's difficult, it's choppy no matter which way you look at it. Anyway, says more further. Ben shmoni areu kevin. This is a very famous Gemara, we have in the Gemara and Shabbos. A kid who's 8-month term is like a stone vein, metalton, or sober shop, is considered to be technically dead. But his wife can lean, his mother can lean over him and nurse him because she wants to get rid of the milk in her breast. Rabbi Yossi boy, Ilan Tinokos Svekos. A kid who we don't know if he's full term. Malchayim is a Shabbos, can we do a bris mila on him on Shabbos? So it says the Gemara, Amrei Yossi Bar Yehuda, Vios, why not? Manashach. No matter what, it should be okay.
Mabentishahu, if he's a full-term baby, Yomach gets bris mila. Bet Shmon, if he's only an eight-month-term baby, Nasik mechatech basar. It's not a bris mila, you're just cutting flesh in a dead person. And there's no prohibition in cutting flesh in a dead person on Shabbos. Okay? You're only not allowed to make a chabura in a live person. But if it's a dead person, you're it's okay. So do the bris mila no matter what, right? The words Shiloh Tzorach are not supposed to be here. Rabban, that's part of Rabban Kisar's rejoinder. No. Rabban Kisar, Amrei Rabbi Yaakov, they said Rabbi Yaakov Bar Dasye Shaw, he asked in this position, Mi'ama Shemuto Achtov Basar Shiloh Tzorach, who says you're just allowed to cut flesh if there's no need. In other words, you're assuming that there's no prohibition of Chabura, so it's okay, but there's Nisan Rabbanon to just cut dead bodies unless it's necessary. So therefore, that's why the legitimate question was asked, whether do bris mila on a safek ben ches or not? Okay? Says the Gemara, Tani Rav Shimon Gamli Omer, Kol miskayim ba'adam shleshim yom ein nefil. This is the way we paskin. We paskin, if it survived 30 days, it's not a nefil. Because it says, U'p'tuya mi ben chodesh tifteh, redeem when you get to month old. U'vehema, by an animal, shmoni yom remains a nefil. It survived for 8 days, it's right not a nefil. And that's why, miyom ha-shmini v'holi, ratzeh korban yishol ha-shem, it reads korban from the 8th day. Tam and Armin Hashem Shmuel, over there they said name of Shmuel, and there it's Yisrael, Halakar Shungamil, that it's 30 days, not, even if you have Simonim, you don't go by the Simonim. It's got to be 9 months plus 30 days of actual being alive, okay? Said, in order to do Avelus. Amr Ali Baraba said, Ma Pliyim Shmuel Chadosha, right? Says, Mar, no. The only Machlokas where he passed Shmuel is where he wasn't born the end of 9 months. Avinel Chadosha, but it's born at the end of 9 months, Avershin Gamliel Moida. So the Bible Yerushalmi does not come out like we just said. It comes out that if you know for sure it's a 9-month-term baby, even before 30 days, if it dies, you assume that it was a full-term baby, and therefore you have to be a novel on it. Okay? Getting back to the next issue in our Mishnah. He could say, Vachazah, he could say, what if he hit both fathers? Who's Machmir? Hit both. Or Kilo Zeh, Vachazah, Kilo Zeh. Still apart, or he's still exempt. There's more, wait a minute, how can he be exempt? Archina boy lays the plea Rabbi Yochanan? Doesn't this argue Rabbi Yochanan? This Bible have a machlekes b'shneyom etem shagolos. A guy transgressed. He went on two shneyom etem shagolos and did a mulach on both days, just to be sure that he should be over, right? So Rabbi Yochanan marim a kavin asrela sofik. Rabbi Yochanan says hasra sofik shmo asra, right? Even though each day we're mesupak if it's yontif, but since together the 2 days make up yontif for sure, so giving asra on both days, hasra safik shma asra. So why don't we say the same thing here by the two fathers together, right? Rishim and Lakish are aimakam asra safik. Rishim and Lakish is the one who holds that there's no asra safik, but like Rabbi Yochanan, it should work. So Mechanina, I'm a Rebbe. This is the name of Rebbe. Lazy pliga. It's not a machlokas. Taman Efshar L'chol Amod Olof. It's interesting, this answer. By Shem Tem Shagulim Golios, Igloy L'milis Mafreya, that he transgressed to one of them, right? In other words, what it means is you can find out eventually which day was Yotif, when the Shluchim come from Eretz Yisrael. So you'll know that he transgressed this. Right now you don't know, but eventually you'll find out, right? And that's okay. But Ramhach Yivshar L'chol Amod Olof, but here you'll never know who was actually the father. So in order to make Asra, Safik, Shema, Asra, you at least have to know that the Isser, what the Isser was. And you're going to have to be able to clarify that at the time you come to trial. And you're never going to be able to clarify. You know there was an Isser, but you don't know which it was. So therefore, you're never going to be able to convict. It's really a technicality. It's like getting the license plate number wrong on a car. Okay? But what, okay, but ask, what if you hit them both together at the same time? Simultaneously. Or hika, not one after the other. Kiloshtem kachas. So there, Rabbanan Seirchai. Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter. Rabbi Yochanan, boy, Rabbi Yochanan has, I understand, but how does he touch Rabbi Yehuda? It seems Rabbi Yehuda contradicts himself. The tats, it's not the moment, we learned over there. Acha mizekazais, umizekazais. We don't know which is the Gita Nosha. Actually, Rabbanan say we do. They ate the Gita Nosha from the left thigh and the right thigh. Because Sovik Shmoni get 80 lashes. Because they're both two historians of Gita Nosha. Rayanama in a Sovik Shmoni only get 40 lashes. Zuri says it only applies to one of them, but we don't know which one. So you only get 40 lashes. So in any event, it's a kasha, right? Because there, Rabbi Yehuda says, Asra, Sovik Shmoni, Asra. So if he eats two kazesim, one from each leg, one from each thigh, you give him one malchus between the two of them. But here it says, when he beats both fathers, you don't give him malchus. He's still potter. You don't give him Misa. So it's a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. Tam on ikar love and suffik. A very interesting chiluk, he says, which Gemara immediately rejects. But it's a nice chiluk anyway. He says there, by kidah noshu, we don't know what the iser is. Tam on ikar love and suffik. We don't know what the iser, I'm sorry, we do know what the, we don't know which the iser pertains to. But we know one of them is also. So therefore, in that case, we can give him one Malkus Binger, two of them. But here, there definitely was a father. We just don't know which one it is. So it's interesting, his distinction. He says, where the Sufik is in the din itself, so then we give him a Malkus. Because obviously, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a halacha. We forgot it, but there is such a halacha. So then, when we have a Sufik in the din, we cannot say that he's exempt. But where the Sufik is in the Metzias, we don't know which one is the father. He says, in that case, we taka don't give. When the Sufik is in our knowledge, in that case, we can't put it to death. And the Sufik is what the halacha was. We forgot the halacha. So then, we have to flog him. And the Sufik is our knowledge of who the father is, then we don't give him the flogging, we suffix. There's a fascinating distinction which, if it were true, would require us to assess what the difference is between a suffix and din, to which one it pertains, a suffix and matthias. But the Gemara rejects it anyway. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda asks, according to that premise, Me'ata nevela shebitla b'shkuta. Let's say you have a nevela which got mixed into a shkuta. Interesting case. You have a nevela which got mixed into a shkuta, right? But there's enough nevela to make up gezayis bichtei achilas pras. But you don't know each bite, each morsel you're taking, is this morsel from the nevela, or is this morsel from the shchuta? You ate a gezayis bichtei achilas pras, but you don't know which part, which morsel was the part of the iser, which morsel was part of the iser. What would you say there? Would you say it's butter? Is that a sra safek? That's a suffix in Matthias, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it should be Pata, right?
It wasn't
Pata B'Shishim. No, it wasn't Pata B'Shishim, right. It's definitely there. It's not Pata B'Shishim. So, but Nevei Shabitla B'Shkuta. Ma'acha Shavada Yom Nistapeklo. So this is a suffix in Matthias, right? You don't know what you're eating. Achamani, you have Pata? If you eat it there, you have Pata? Is there such a thing? So, of course not. So, some of you are right. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mod Rabbi Yehuda B'Shar Kol Sfekushu Chayev. Really, Rabbi Yehuda concedes by all Sfekus. Just because you have a suffix, you're still chayiv malchus. You don't know which lie it is, you're still chayiv malchus. You don't know if you ate the iser right now, or you ate the heter, but you ate a kezayis of the iser, you're still chayiv malchus. Bram Halcha Kreider, which is special halacha by fathers. Rabbi Darash Rabbi Yehuda. Aviv Vadai, it says, Aviv. It means Vadai v'lo suffix. Imo, mother Vadai v'lo suffix. So that's why it's a special halacha over here. But Enachanami, any other suffix in Torah, as long as you know the transgressed iser, and it's clear, so you give the guy Malkus no matter what. Okay? He's even more Malkus than Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan knows Asra Safik, Loshim, Hashma Asra, only when he Gloy Milsom Afreya, that you know what it was. He also even don't know what it was, as long as it's not a case of Avi V'Imo, as long as you know for sure he transgressed Isser, you give Malkus no matter what. Okay, just to finish the parak. Vol Mishmar Shazeva Shalzeh. He goes to the Mishmar, both Kohanim. Goes as follows. Oh, yeah, what's he going up for? He can't serve anyway when he gets there, because each mishmar says, "Ha, you're not one of us. You're one of the other mishmar." Says my Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Chaim. Rabbi says, "Name Gam Mishpacha, because it looks bad if he doesn't go up. It looks bad for the rest of the family. So for the honor of the family, he's got to go up." Says my Tani, it said in the Mishnah that if he knows which mishmar he is, if both Kohan, both potential fathers from the same mishmar, so he gets to eat no matter what. Right? That's what it said, because they're both in the same mishmar. It says, nah. The Tani Behein Shushneim Beis Av Echot. He had to be from the same Beis Av, because each mishmar is divided into seven Batei Av, 7 days. So he's got, they both have to be from the same Beis Av in order for him to be able to eat, because each one, otherwise each one says, go to the other guy's day. My day or not, you can't get. So he has to be from the same base off. That's all I talk about carbonos, which other people bring in. But of course, since he's definitely a Kohen, so any carbon he brings, he's allowed to sacrifice and eat from himself. Okay.
Mark, by the way, just for...